Radioactive!
Good morning, Seattle.
It's your favorite Tuesday Radioactive podcast host,
Isaac Naren
and Carlos Nieto.
Radioactive is a youth program through KUOW.
Today we talk about hardships and struggles.
And what it means to be you.
You know, I've never really thought about what makes me me, you know? Like, there are so many different things that go into who you are. Where you come from, your parents, how you treat people, your ethnicity. You kind of just assume you know who you are. But really looking at you and looking at the different parts of your life, it's important. And at a really young age, you aren't really supposed to know who you are.
That's definitely true. And if you don't know who you are from a young age, then some people think it's wrong if you figure out when you're older. But if you figure something out from a young age, then you're too young to know who you are.
Like, yeah, like, if I say that I don't believe in God, my parents will be like, oh, it's just a phase. You'll get over it. When you grow up and you'll learn more, you'll understand. And people assume that you don't know who you are just because you're young and you're confused. And it's true. You're still building yourself. And sometimes you have to say who you are to get that across. And you have to stand by that.
Yeah, I know that when I came out to people at first, they really didn't believe me.
Mm.
They all thought I was too young to know who I really was. And at the same time, because I didn't come out when I was younger,
right,
I wasn't who I said I was. And I know that's true for a lot of people. Because you hear the stories about kids coming out younger and younger. But I mean, everyone's different, and some kids need to come out older. When parents hear about younger kids coming out, they seem to usually think that if you're older, then it's wrong.
Like, to me, it's like the older you are, when you express how you feel, the more people believe you. But I think people should be open to other people's identities, like, no matter how old they are, their gender or otherwise.
Yeah, my friend Jen, she had some problems with people not accepting her gender when she was 14, actually. I interviewed her about how she was reacting to a fresh start.
Really? What happened?
Well, you know, Jennifer, she's like a lot of other high school girls. She worries about how she looks and the clothes she wears and the friends she has. I mean, to see her walking down the street, you would see just another 16-year-old girl. Only once you get to know her will you know the full story.
Let me guess. Radioactive's Isaac Naren has a story?
Oh. What I look like? Okay. Slightly longer than shoulder length. Dirty blonde hair, thick rim hipster glasses, and a weird smile.
When Jennifer looks into a mirror, she sees a feminine figure with bigger hips and a smaller waist than even a few months ago. She used to feel strange about her body.
Not necessarily out of place, just weird, I guess. Like, something was off, but you couldn't quite put a name to it. And it wasn't something that was like, oh my God, if I don't fix this, I'm going to kill myself. It wasn't that. It was more of, why is something wrong?
Jen is a trans girl. This means she was born physically male. However, she felt female. She and her parents wanted to keep her last name out of the story for her safety. When she first heard the word transgender at her church, she knew it described her. Then she told her friends. They convinced her to come out to her parents and school. When she first came out, she felt free.
It's like being let out of a very small, tiny cage into a much bigger cage, but a cage nonetheless.
That's because coming out caused Jen to face a lot of problems, more than the average teenage girl. For Jen to look the way she wanted, hormones were a necessity. Now, hormones are not easy things to come by. Hormones are expensive, and you need a letter from a mental health care professional. One of the other obstacles for Jen was her dad. His lack of support and acceptance made her want to give up.
There wasn't really a reaction so much as a, I'm not going to talk about this for a year or so. Just please don't bring it up to me. It was more of an avoidance than a reaction.
Jen's dad didn't let her wear female clothing at all. He basically just said, no, you can't be a girl. She was 14 at the time. A year later, her dad had a change of heart. He had a couple of reasons for this.
One of them being just the general accepting of his inability to cure me and that, you know, I wasn't going to change my mind. And also, one time I tried to run away and he stopped me, but it made him realize that, you know, if he didn't change his actions, then I could be gone the next day.
Finally, both of her parents were on board, and Jen got the okay for getting hormones. She's 16 now, and Jen takes 4 different kinds of medication daily. 2 are estrogen, and 2 are testosterone suppressors. In order to look feminine, Jen will have to take this medication for the rest of her life. However, she still has a penis. This is a problem for her. Jen used to love swimming. She used to play water polo and dive for her school. But now, she doesn't feel very comfortable in a bathing suit.
Otherwise, like, before transition, you could barely get me out of the pool. Now you can barely get me into the pool.
She feels like she doesn't look like the other girls. If you're born with a penis but feel like a girl, then you're transgender, like Jen. Cisgender is the opposite. It is a term that is used to define people who identify with their sex.
Cisgendered girls can, for the most part, wear pretty much any bathing suit because they can still look decently good in it. I, on the other hand, feel very, 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 very uncomfortable wearing, like, a bikini bottom.
Her body image creates other problems, including who she dates and how she dates. Most of us want to find that perfect boy or girl on a white horse, ready to whisk us away into the sunset. For Jen, that person would also have to know about her being trans and be okay with that.
Say, I was dating someone, and they presumed that I was female in every way, and then one day they found out from one of their friends, they would potentially be completely disgusted or feeling betrayed and lied to. And I feel like I would have to open up to anyone that I am dating or going to date, like, very soon into the start of the relationship.
Not only that, but physically, she has issues opening up to people. Since her body doesn't match how she feels, she agonizes over it.
People still see me as male because of, you know, what's down there. It doesn't necessarily complicate dating itself, but say if I wanted to have sex or they wanted to have sex, and I would not really be able to reciprocate that to their pleasure or mine, and things would get either very, very uncomfortable or very, very awkward.
Jen's seen the popular stories in the media about trans women getting beaten up, raped, or killed just because they're trans. Fears over dating and loving relationships are generally on the minds of high schoolers. Jen's fears make dating that much more tricky. Not only that, but Jen still feels trapped. She feels trapped by what she calls the cage of America, with laws and attitudes that apply to girls and women. They now also apply to her.
Let's say the cage is the size of a state, and I was cooped up in a cage the size of, well, a closet. Being let out of the closet and pretty much being allowed to roam free, but still knowing that I'm trapped in a way and there is someone else holding a key.
However, she is still happy with her decision to come out. By coming out, she hopes to have opened the minds of her classmates just a little bit.
I think I've kind of helped pave the way for them by being that person that steps out and kind of giving off the aura of, I don't care what you say or think, I'm going to be me.
For Radioactive, this is Isaac Noren.
Wow, I never have to think about how my body looks or how people look at me.
I mean, yeah, and parents especially. I think the most important part is the acceptance your parents have in you as a person.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, then it really just eats both of you from the inside out. And parents need to have more trust in their children and trust them to make the right decisions for themselves, you know? Sometimes that decision can involve kids standing out and not fitting in.
Well, you know, sometimes people are trying to fit in. Shakar's story is about a religious refugee staying true to himself while adapting to a new culture, country, and norms.
That's true. In Tukwila, Washington, a growing Bhutanese community is slowly adapting to modern American life.
But at the same time, they want to keep their Bhutani roots alive. Radioactive Shukar Pinumaka has our story about one young man who finds himself in a perfect position to help bridge these two worlds.
Prarthana. Sarva Mangala Mangalyam.
Sarva Mangala Mangalyam.
Devim Sarvartha Sadikam.
Devim Sarvartha Sadikam.
Saranyam Sarva Bhutanam.
Saranyam Sarva Bhutanam.
Namamo Bhumi Mataram.
Namamo Bhumi Mataram.
I'm in a park just 2 minutes from Foster Library in Tukwila. On a big grass field, four rows of people are standing at attention. Bhutanese community members are praying for world peace and unity. But Alan Kofle's family did not experience peace and unity in Bhutan. They were persecuted there. He was just 4 years old when his family left the country to live in a refugee camp in Nepal.
Refugee life is a refugee life. But in camp, you have no resources to understand what really America stands for.
Alan had heard about the United States and dreamed about what it would be like. After 17 years in a refugee camp, he applies to resettle in the U.S.
So when I was in camp, like they told, hey, America is like the country of concrete, you know? No jungle, no forest, no green.
But when Alan actually came here, he experienced a world of variety and colors. At that moment, he knew he'd have a better life.
So when I come here, like, oh my God, it's more beautiful than the refugee camp, you know, like a lot of trees here.
That was 5 years ago. Now, as part of the resettlement process, Alan has gotten a job, started supporting his family, and has even finished some college. He finds it easier than expected to live in the United States.
The way the government provides some subsidies like supports, and the social service they provide us, along with the opportunity I found here, is good for me.
Even though Alan is living a better life in the U.S., he sees his community through a constant stream of questions about technology in the modern world.
What is meant by computer? What is meant by internet? How you get the phone services? How it works? Things like that. Those are basic things, but like in the camp, those were your dreams.
As a tech-savvy 26-year-old, Alan realizes that modern technology is needed to succeed, especially for a community with huge cultural differences from the United States. To bridge the gap for the older Bhutanese people, he is studying to be an IT professional so that he can help them with all sorts of things.
But our old generation, they are pretty much not educated and they have no chance to get access to the school system. So they don't have a very good English as well as Nepali. They are not good in literature at all. So they are in need of a big help from the people like us who can speak their language as well as who can speak the English also.
Alan is working as a medical translator in a refugee service company. Through his job, he's making it easier for Bhutani refugees to adjust to a new country. But he also sees the challenges the community faces, such as isolation, lack of employment, and even suicide. Alan is enjoying his life in the U.S. and sees the possibilities for this Bhutanese community. Even though he left as a child, his heart still lives in Bhutan.
I was like four, but I still remember the way I'd go with my grandma sometime to just in the jungle for looking the cattle, and then the way she pick up some lemons, you know, like from the jungle and put salt and mix it and just give it to me. And I remember it was fun there, you know.
That is one of Alan's best memories of Bhutan. But there are others of persecution and of oppression. He hopes conditions will improve there, and dreams of the day he'll go back.
If the system change and if the new government is introduced there, again, Bhutan is my own home. It's my motherland, right?
Alan now has two homes. While he lives in the United States, Bhutan will always be his motherland. For Radioactive, I'm Shrikar Panumaka.
कायो में पततु प्रभु
कायो में पततु प्रभु
विश्व धर्म की जय
विश्व धर्म की जय
ध्वज प्रणाम एक
Man, like my family came to the U.S. in 98, for a totally different reason than Alan's. You know, and it's like I never had to worry about my people integrating to the fabrics of America, you know? It's such a big community, you never have to worry about it.
Yeah, and it must be so hard to have your entire community in one town. Like, I couldn't even imagine, because I feel like your community really defines who you are.
Well, hopefully our listeners think about what it means to be who they are and where they come from.
Tomorrow, you'll hear the final stories from Ian Dongla and Kendra Hanna for Summer 2013. To listen to more stories like these and think more, go to kuow.org/radioactive.
Or on Facebook at Radioactive Youth Media.
Super special thanks to Shrikar Penumaka for his feature story on Alan.
And my co-host, Isaac Noren, for their feature story on Jen.
Last but not least, thanks to the ladies who have seen us through it all, Jenny Asarno
and Lila Kataev.
This is Isaac Noren
and Carlos Nieto
signing out for the last time, Summer 2013.